Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Today in our service, the sermon that I will read is from a different pastor. I'm on vacation, and therefore this is a sermon that is written by Pastor Bill Kessel. So let us begin, first of all, in the name of our triune God, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and he has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us collect our thoughts in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The word of our God that we turn our attention to today then is from the Old Testament book of Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9, and then also from John chapter 3, verse 14. Let me read the Old Testament first. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water. We detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." And now we read the gospel from John chapter 3, verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. These are then the readings of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Pastor Kessel says, the last rattlesnake he killed was many years ago when he was living in the parsonage on First Street in Cottonwood, Arizona. About 10 o'clock one evening, his son said that he thought he saw a snake on the cement just outside the front door. He went out through the garage, grabbed the shovel. He walked out front, and sure enough, it was a rattlesnake. He hates snakes, and it didn't hurt his conscience one bit to take that shovel and cut that thing's head off. But you know what? The most interesting thing then happened. As the family was examining the headless snake, and even without a head, it was still trying to strike. So here's this headless body still trying to kill after it was dead. Now that you are thinking about snakes, let's proceed then with the Bible story that is for our attention today. The people in our lesson got a crash course in Snake 101. After being freed from Egypt, they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now it was time to take possession of the Promised Land. But we're told from Numbers, the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable field." Well, let's look at their sins. First, there is the sin of impatience. If patience is a virtue, then what is impatience? Impatience is a sin. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven." And elsewhere in the Bible, we hear the injunction to be patient. "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him," Psalm 37. Or from James chapter 5, we hear, "Be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Or finally, we hear from Romans chapter 15, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus." The Israelites were impatient. They did not want to wait for God's good time. They wanted to set their own timetable. Impatience is, in our century today, also a sin. In Arizona, the legal drinking age is 21. But many of the youth can't wait. They reason, "Well, I can vote at 18, I can gamble at casinos at 18, I can go to war at 18, so why can't I drink at 18? Their impatience gets the best of them. Or God says, "Reserve sexual relations for marriage." But some insist, "I want it now." Impatience. You pray for something and you don't get it right away. Maybe recovery from an illness. So you give up praying. Or you pray, "Lord, give me patience and I want it now." Well, secondly, the Israelites were also guilty of grumbling and complaining. Our text says they spoke against God and Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread. There's no water, and we detest this miserable food." This was their chronic complaint. "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all of the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." They had plenty of food to eat, and it was free from God. But they didn't like the food God gave them. Grumbling and complaining are likewise sins for us today. We generally grumble and complain because we think we deserve something better. The lady in the commercial says that she is willing to pay more for her product because she is worth it. We too feel that we are worth it. Do you ever grumble or complain about the food? Or that the test was too hard? Or that you should have gotten the promotion instead of someone else? We have lived a clean, God-fearing life, and why are we saddled now in our retirement age with poor health? It's not fair. We deserve better than that, don't we? Yes, there is lots of grumbling and complaining. Sin has consequences. Whether it's the sin of impatience or the sin of grumbling, sin has consequences. Our text said, "Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died." The King James Version describes these snakes as fiery serpents. Experts say that the snakes were saw-scale vipers, the most deadly snakes on earth. These 2-foot-long snakes can actually strike so fast that they propel themselves off the ground. Their bite has been compared to being clamped by a red-hot pliers. The bite is almost always fatal. It's not like a cobra, which kills you fast. No, this can take a couple of days to die. For you medical people who like big words, it's not a pleasant thing. That means that the victim slowly bleeds to death internally and there is no stopping it. This is what was taking place in our lesson. These were the earthly consequences of sin. But of course, there were eternal consequences as well. If the snakes produced a fiery, burning bite, then hell is a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9. Listen to some of these descriptions of hell from Matthew chapter 26. He'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Or, "Surely the day is coming. It'll burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evil doer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire." Malachi chapter 4. Hell is the consequence of impatience and grumbling, whether committed by the ungrateful Hebrews or for us today. Sin has hot consequences. But God did not leave his people without hope. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake, put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." By the way, the word "look" means more than just a glance at it. It means fix your eyes on something and don't take them off of it. It took faith to concentrate full attention on that pole. Let's say you were bitten yesterday. By now your leg would be all swollen. The pain would be excruciating. You would be dying inside, internally bleeding to death. Meanwhile, there are more snakes and more dying people. You would really have to believe in the efficiency of that bronze snake on a pole to focus full attention on it. You would really have to trust that by looking, though you were dying, yet you would live. But the fact is that those who did believe and did as Moses told them were saved. But that bronze snake on the pole was but a billboard showing what was still to come. Jesus on Calvary's cross. Bitten by our sins of impatience and grumbling and all the other sins, we too would be facing the burning fires of hell if it were not for Jesus. You want to go to heaven. You don't want to die eternally in hell. Then listen to this ironclad promise of Jesus. Jesus himself is speaking, and he says, from John chapter 3, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus was suspended on high on Calvary's cross, so all sinners who have been bitten as a consequence of their sins have a Savior. He is the remedy. Jesus alone makes things better. Through faith in him, by focusing your heart on him, sin has been defanged. Remember earlier, it was said that after we cut that rattlesnake's head off, it still tried to strike? Through faith in Christ Jesus, who died on the cross to save us from our sins, that snake of sin and death can try to strike, but its danger has been removed. It continues to strike, but its strike is in vain. Before leaving our lesson, let's go back to the desert and put ourselves in the situation of those ancient Israelites. Faith and salvation were non-transferable. In other words, you had to gaze intently on that bronze snake to be saved. No one could do the looking for you. But since the bite from the snake did not cause instantaneous death, don't you think that one man would encourage those around him to listen to God's word through Moses and see the salvation offered to all? I can just see a man telling the family close to him to turn to the cross for salvation. And that's the point that Jesus was making as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Christ died for the sins of the world, so everybody can be saved. And we who have been spared eternal death have the opportunity to tell others so that they too can be saved. That's what our church is all about. Our church is a place for us to gaze intently on Jesus. It's a place for us to encourage others to do the same. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear Lord, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls, to protect us from the temptations of the devil. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air, and keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm. Dear Lord, bless our land and our people and all those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. Lord, grant your blessing to every nation on earth. And where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let that hatred be healed. Where there is poverty and danger or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore. We give ourselves to you, Lord, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. And it's in our Lord's name that we come to you and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your day.